When you greet people, you know, they come to your home or to your office, what do you do? Can you just see in your mind's eye the kind of behavior in which you engage? Maybe there's things you say. Maybe there's a routine that you have as people come to your place. I know that in some homes, one of the rules is you take off your shoes, so that when I make pastoral visits, I check my socks in the morning, you know, before I go. But there are these social conventions, these expectations for what that experience is going to be like. They shape our behavior around greeting people. And sometimes those social conventions aren't immediately obvious until you violate one of them or forget one of them. But there are certain expectations around vocabulary, around touch, around eye contact, and that whole handshaking routine. How many of you learned the handshake deal from Grandpa? You know, most of us heard about this need for it to be firm and for there to be eye contact. How does your best version of welcome actually sound? Your best version of welcome, how does that look? How does that feel? Would you do a quiz with me? And we'll kind of keep score. There's 10 of them. There's 10 words that I'd like to show you, and I'll give you a hint. They're all the word welcome, but they're in different languages. So, see, you know, you can get bragging rights. But let's see. The first one, I'm not going to try to pronounce these because I would goof it up. What do you think? Yep, good. Number two. Yeah, you guys are good. How about number three? This one is, so how are you doing so far? Are you keeping track? How about the fourth one? Oh, it's a bit of the Gaelic. It's Irish. Okay, number five. Nah, see there, we got that one. You can recognize it by the Cyrillic. Number six. This is Indonesian. Stephen had to learn it before he got on the airplane. Okay, this is number seven. French, yeah. Yeah. Okay, number eight. Oh, this one's a little harder. It's Slovak. Okay, number nine. I heard somebody say Jewish. It's Hebrew. It's modern Hebrew. That's right. Okay, the last one, the best one. Oh, did I say best? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud. Yeah. How did you do? there's probably 1,000 places on the internet where you can go to look up pickup lines if you wanted to go to a bar and find out what you're supposed to say. I made the mistake of looking that up. I mean, you know, not because I was going to go to the bar and actually try that. I wanted it for the sake of, you know, our time together today. And frankly, I wish that I hadn't, but just a couple of them. See, now I'm worried about, you know, the cookies, what's going to come back and pop up as You smell like trash. Can I take you out? I don't think that would work. I don't think that would work. There's other ones here that I'm not even going to say. Did you have Mrs. O'Brien for 8th grade English class? No. Oh, well, me neither. We have a lot in common. What's your sign? Everybody remembers that one. How about this last one? Hi, I'm Brad Pitt, and I'm wearing a disguise so that I won't be recognized. Can I buy you a drink? Icky. I suppose at some point you really have to decide, are things like that welcome? Words like that affirmations? Is that respect? Or is it something else? Do they feel like a gift? Or do they feel like, I just want to take something from you? You see my point. initiating contact with another human being requires some care. One of the first things that we teach our youngsters, because we want them to know this important skill, we want them to know about regard and warmth. We want them to know about smiling. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Now, the word welcome in English is just one of those easy two-syllable words. But in the Koine Greek, in the old language, the one that we read today, the Greek there is dexomai, dexomai. And literally understood, it is to take to oneself what is presented by another. It is to take to oneself what is presented by another. Dexomai. Dexomai is to accept or embrace or receive. Dexomai. It is to admit or approve or allow. Dexomai. It is to show hospitality to another. That little word comes up 6 times in just these 3 verses. Let me show you a picture of someone. You may not be able to recognize her just from the image. This is an author and has really become one of my favorites. This is Sarah Miles, and she wrote a book called Take This Bread, a radical conversion story. And can I read you 3 or 4 paragraphs? Early one winter morning when Katie was sleeping at her father's house, Katie is her daughter, okay? I walked into St. Gregory's Episcopal Church in San Francisco. I had no earthly reason to be there. I'd never heard a gospel reading, never said the Lord's Prayer. I was certainly not interested in becoming a Christian, or as I thought of it rather less politely, a religious nut. But on other long walks, I'd pass the beautiful wooden building with its shingled steeples and plain windows, and this time I went in on an impulse with no more than a reporter's habitual curiosity. The rotunda was flooded with slanted morning light. A table in the center of the open, empty space was ringed high above by huge neo-Byzantine mural of unlikely saint figures with gold halos dancing outside in the back. Water trickled from a huge slab of rock set against the hillside. Well, past the rotunda, a forest of standing silver crosses, there was a spare, spacious area with chairs instead of pews, where about 20 people were sitting. Later, I'd learned much about the mission of St. Gregory's, founded by 2 priests who were determined to reform the ossified Episcopal liturgy by proclaiming the ancient Middle Eastern roots of Christian worship. I'd learned about their struggles with the hierarchy, their theology of open communion and baptism, their radical ideas about architecture and music. And I'd learned also about the blindness inside the vision, the contradictions inside the prophecy, and the struggles inside the community. Maybe not unlike congregations we know. I couldn't foresee then how I'd be changed and moved by the people I was meeting, or how much I'd come to love the very beams of the building. But that morning, I didn't even know what Episcopal meant. I had no idea Episcopalians were part of the worldwide Anglican Communion, a Catholic and Apostolic Church, or how they worshiped or what they stood for. I didn't even realize that St. Gregory's was unusual. I assumed that everything I saw was just plain church and that I was there as a spectator. I walked in, took a chair, and tried not to catch anyone's eye. There were windows looking out on a hillside covered in geraniums, and I could hear birds squabbling outside. Then a man and a woman in long tie-dye robes stood and began chanting in harmony. There was no organ, no choir, no pulpit, just the unadorned voices of the people. In long silences framed by the ringing of deep Tibetan bowls, I sang too, It crossed my mind that this was all a little ridiculous. We sat down and stood up, sang, and sat down and waited and listened and stood up and sang, and it was all pretty peaceful and, well, sort of interesting. Jesus invites everyone to his table, the woman announced. And we started moving up in a stately dance to the table and the rotunda. It had some dishes on it and a pottery goblet. And then we gathered around that table, and there was more singing and standing, and someone was putting a piece of fresh, crumbly bread in my hands, saying, "The body of Christ," and handing me a goblet of sweet wine, saying, "The blood of Christ." And then something outrageous and terrifying happened. Jesus happened to me. Perhaps all of our experiences of God happen in the moment. All our experiences of the presence of Jesus don't come as ideas or abstractions. That all our experiences of the presence of God are not about facts or principles or assertions, but are about experiences, are about relationships. Do you remember Martin Buber, that old philosopher, that great teacher? His favorite line was, "All life is meeting." That ancient professor, that resister of the Nazis, "All life is meeting." I wonder, did Buber know Jesus? When two or three of us meet, God is present. So how does that work for you? What does your greeting sound like? Your greeting, how does it feel and how does it look? Is it like a pickup line in a bar? Words that would demean or manipulate? Or is it something else? Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." It was a radical thing to suggest among his peers at the time, but it may be even more radical now. Now, here in our time, maybe you've noticed it like I have, there's been a sort of deterioration of such things, a deterioration of our welcome and our greeting and our speech, a cultural disintegration of civility and decency, our capacity for reasoned discourse. You know, things get said to one another that seem calculated to humiliate, seem calculated to embarrass and shame, invective that is inflammatory, and it's all kind of contagious. Have you noticed that? Contagious abuse of meeting and greeting and language. And I think that's because it's so tempting to escalate it. You know how that works? You've seen it. If you criticize my leadership, well, I'll make a joke about your appearance. If you demean my performance, well, then I'll call you a name. And on and on and on it goes. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. That sets the bar pretty high for us, living in this culture of contempt. I saw an interview with the Dalai Lama, and the interviewer was saying, you know, how can you stand it? How can you stand all the invective, all the anger, all the insult? You know, what do you do when you're attacked? And the Lama stopped for a moment, and he smiled, and he said, "I practice warm-heartedness. I practice warm-heartedness. Heartedness. I notice he said practice. He didn't say feel. As God's faithful people gathered right here and right now, we struggle and we work and we hunt and we look. We're trying to find a Christian way to speak. What do you think that way is? There's another Greek word It's the word for stranger. And you may recognize it. It's the word xeno, X-E-N-O, xeno. Say it with me, xeno. That means stranger. Well, closely related to that is the word for guest. Very interesting. Now, in English, xeno is always the prefix for what word? Xenophobia. And what is that? It's kind of this resistance or fear or revulsion or apprehension around the other. What about xenophilia? Love for the guest. Love for the one we don't know. So, you guessed it. Now we got to practice it. Let's see your xenophilia. Are you willing? What if in 90 seconds or so, even while the musicians are getting ready, maybe even while the lights are still a little bit low, should we try a little xenophilia? What would that be? What would that look like? Wouldn't it mean looking or finding somebody you didn't come with? Somebody you don't, maybe you don't know them by first name? You could kind of go across a pew or reach across an aisle, and if you want to shake their hand or whatever social convention your welcome might mean, but can you look them in the eye? Can you look them in the eye and say something like, "Welcome, Christ is here"? Or what would you say? What would you say that would be honest? Welcome, Jesus loves you. Welcome, God's Spirit is in this place.